Welcome to Myrtle Moms with Margaritas, the show where we sip cool drinks, talk about hot topics, and certainly don't take ourselves too seriously. Grab your favorite beverage, give your kids the iPad, and take a break, because this episode we're learning about being a mom in the media limelight. I'm Jen, Colton and Nolan's mom.
I'm Shannon, Gabriel and Grayson's mom. And Jen, we have a very exciting guest today.
Yeah. It's like breaking news, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, I just want to go right on into it. Is that okay with you?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, today's guest is Megan Miller. She is the evening news anchor at WBTW News 13, serving Myrtle Beach and Florence television market for more than a decade. She's currently anchors News 13, First Edition, and News 13 at 5, 5:30, and 6 p.m., each weeknight. Megan's passionate about the inner workings of the Grand Strand and the PD, and honored to be able to tell the stories of her neighbors and community she loves living in. Megan is a 2008 graduate of Coastal Carolina University, go Shawnts, where she received her Bachelor's of Arts in Communications with a minor in journalism. She's proud to be a new mom, and with her husband, they just welcomed daughter Natalie. I believe she's about 8 or 9 months now.
10 months.
10 months. Oh, my goodness. They welcomed her in July. And they also have a handsome dog, Piper, that I think the whole community knows Piper. So we're very excited to have Megan here. So welcome.
Thank you. First podcast ever. I'm so excited.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yay. We're honored to be your first podcast.
Yes, Thank you. Most definitely. Well, we'll just go dive right on in. Megan, you just, like we said, recently became a mom.
Yes.
What's the best thing about being a mom? And you're a girl mom. We're a boy mom. Mm-hmm. So you might can give us some like tips.
You know what? It's just so exciting to have a little human crawling around. She's so close to walking. She took her first steps on Sunday. So we're working on, you know, our balance and standing on our own and walking and everything. But I truly think the best part of being mom is coming home from work every night and just having a smiling little baby waiting for you. There is, you could have the worst day in the world, but as soon as I see Natalie, everything just melts away. And that's just beautiful. And to see them growing and learning and discovering the world around them fills my heart with so much joy. It is overflowing every single day.
Yeah. Well, with your hours, does she stay home with you, I'm assuming, during the day a little bit while then you go to work later in the afternoon?
So I get to see her. I know this is going to sound terrible, but I don't get to see her a lot during the work week because we live a 30-minute commute from the station. So I get to see her probably about 2 hours in the morning. That's when we have our mommy and me bonding time. And then I go for a 10-hour work day when you, you know.
Yeah.
Put in the commute and all of that good stuff. It ends up panning out to be 10 hours, and I can't get home for a lunch break, so we FaceTime during lunch and everything. So we have our little lunch dates every day. And then I get to see her for about 45 minutes before it's bubble bath time, and we're putting her down for bed. And I do that routine every night just so that we can wrap up our day together, which is so super nice. But I'm so lucky because I have my support system here. My whole family lives here.
Oh, that's
Mom
amazing.
And dad live just almost a dozen doors down from us. And I cannot tell you how helpful that support system has been in this journey, especially when you have such a demanding job. It is hard being a working mom.
Amen.
It certainly takes a village.
Exactly. Yes, and I'm lucky to have my village right down the street. My sister lives right up the road from us. So they have just been an immense help because it's also a transition once you get off of maternity leave and trying to find your rhythm and your flow with, you know, how your days go. And I just cannot thank my mom enough for granny camp. And Natalie goes to granny camp every day.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. And your husband also works in law enforcement. So I know his job's pretty demanding and the hours that he's working. So that's just so great to have family right down the road.
It certainly is. And it's nice to know that my family's understanding. Chris's, you know, Horry County Fire Rescue is just so understanding to Chris and to his schedules. And if he needs to drop everything, you know, because we have an emergency back home, they are totally cool about it. My work is great. I just brought Natalie to work for the first time the other day. That was an adventure.
Everybody was like, oh my goodness, a baby's here. Let's
fighting
go.
Over her. Fighting over her. So it's really nice to, at the same time, while I have that family support system, we have a really great work support system as well. And that's so important.
Very, it is, very important. Especially this day and time. I mean, the hours that are expected out of, you know, all of us professionals, it really helps having that opportunity.
It certainly does.
To have flexibility.
Yeah. Especially, you know, media is a job. We always say that news never sleeps. We are constantly turned on.
That's the truth.
24/7. Something can happen in the middle of the night. Something can happen at 5 a.m., at noon, at 4:55, right before, you know, we start our 5 o'clock newscast. And it never sleeps. So that's demanding for us. And we have to be turned on all the time. And, you know, being able to adjust to that schedule and those demands and finding that fine balance has been tough, per se. But you got to go with the flow.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you feel like when you're with Natalie, you're able to kind of turn that off for a few seconds and... Or is it always running?
It depends which way the wind blows. I'll be honest with you. Because I'm such a big newsie. I'm so invested in this community. I'm a veteran at our station, so I help drive our news choices and our editorial decisions. And, hey, this is important, or this isn't, you know, doesn't require caliber of, you know, sending a reporter out and doing live shots. So I have a lot of editorial say at our station as well, which a lot of people do, and we work as a big team. When a big story is happening and I'm not at the station, that is hard for me to turn off, because that's just second nature for me. You know, I've been in this industry for almost 15 years and it's like a reflex, like breaking news. Come on, baby, let's go. But you do have to almost reprogram your brain as a mother and say it is family first, work second when we are off the clock. And that's been difficult.
That's hard.
It's hard for any woman.
It really is.
To
absolutely
do
is.
When you're trying to keep your place and, you know, keep being in good rapport with your management and with your team members, that there's a really fine balance there.
That's true. Yes. And you took the full 12 weeks, right, for maternity leave. That was
so
smart.
Blessed. Mm-hmm. So blessed. But I stayed in tune with what was happening at the station and, you know, joining.
She was always volunteering and coming out and helping at everything.
So. I know. And it's just, I felt like me personally, I still had to stay connected. I just couldn't
turn
work off. So I would, you know, just hear from my coworkers about what's going on at the station, how the environment is, and participate in weekly leadership meetings. But that was about the extent of it, because I knew that I would never have those 12 weeks, you know, to be off again. Everybody thinks it's a vacation, but no. Maternity leave.
No, not
a vacation at all. So you just, I had
especially
to soak
as a
up the
first
moment.
Child, you're just learning
everything.
I want to keep this child alive.
Exactly. And my husband and I were one and done. And
every
milestone is
the milestone,
the first and the last
so
milestone.
So that phone is ready to record at all times, right?
It's about to explode with videos.
You'd be upgrading to
a photos.
What was the biggest surprise about parenthood? Like, misconception that you're like, well, I didn't expect that to be that way.
This is going to sound very odd, but I did not know that I had a hole in my heart that needed to be filled.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Not necessarily needed to be filled, but like had to be filled. Yeah. And God wanted to fill that little space in my heart where, you know, something just still didn't feel right. My husband and I, we were so super happy, you know, not having kids. We were very career oriented. But when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, oh my gosh, here we go. You know, let the party begin. But I did not realize how beautiful the experience would be and what I was missing out on for 9 years. My husband and I have been married for 9 years now. And, you know, we didn't know if kids would be in the cards for us because we are so career oriented. Mm-hmm. But we just kind of, you know, gave it up to God and said, if we are meant to be parents, he will bless us with a little one. And lo and behold, here comes Natalie charging into the world. But it has just been such a gratifying experience. It's one of those feelings that you can't describe or you can't feel until you're a parent. And that's been the most surprising thing, is just how emotionally bonded I am with Natalie. I could cry just talking about it right now.
I was watching a video of you earlier. You were talking about your birth experience at Tidelands Health. And one of the things that took me by surprise or that I connected to was when you said that the moment she came out, it was like heaven on earth.
Oh, don't make me cry.
But it's so true.
But it is true.
That is a moment I will never forget, that feeling of exactly how I felt with both of my children. That, like, you just can't describe it.
Yeah.
And I don't think any other human on earth except for you will know exactly what that's like.
It is such a thin veil. It's like a miracle happens right before your eyes. You hear about miracles all the time and God's grace and God's blessings, and you have to see it to believe it. I know that sounds so weird, but you truly have to see it to believe it. And when a child comes into the world and they take their first breath and you're holding your breath because you're like, come on, baby, just cry.
I need to hear that
everything's okay and, you know, you're coming out beautifully. Like, that is just a moment that you will never have again. And it is the most beautiful moment you can have as
and
a
you'll
human
never
and a
forget.
Parent.
When I need to go to my happy place, I like think of that day.
Yeah.
Like the whole process of checking into the hospital, being there, know it's coming soon, the angst that you feel, but then the moment that it happens and those moments afterwards.
Exactly. And it just it fills your heart with an indescribable joy. And especially when you get to look back at the pictures and if you took any videos of those first moments, it's, you know, that truly is, you know, some days what can take me back to my happy place is just remembering those little small happy moments that unfortunately not everyone gets to experience. And I think that is why I take so much more pride and, you know, make sure that I don't know really what I'm trying to say here. You know,
you almost have a different perspective on life now.
Exactly. You hold on to it a little bit tighter because you know that maybe your friends or someone in your community, they're trying to have these same moments and you take them with grace and appreciation too.
Most definitely. Even the days when she'll get a little bit older, my kids are a lot older than Jen's and yours, but even those days when they're not listening and they're trying to argue with you, but it's like, you know, I love you guys. I'm so grateful for you. I do love all the moments that we share, but every day is a different day and there's never a dull moment.
And you just have to show grace
that
every
is
day. It's amazing.
It's a blessing.
How grace plays such a big role in your life when you become a mom. It's like you're not going to be perfect every day. Your child's not going to be perfect. They may be – Natalie's throwing herself on the floor, rolling around, having temper tantrums. I'm like, where did this come from? But I just say grace. Show yourself grace. This is the first time you're going through it. It's okay if it doesn't go right the first time. And show your child some grace too. Yeah. That's that's kind of been like my key word for motherhood is – grace. You're doing
it.
The best that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's, you know, not up to your expectations one day, that's okay. Show yourself some grace.
Absolutely.
Well, who's the inspirational person that has helped, you know, just influence you as not only a mother, but a wife?
I would say my mom. That's such the, you know, just so the trivial answer and the usual answer.
No.
But we have such a unique story, a family story. Mm-hmm. My mom is a cancer survivor, and she almost died of leukemia when I was in the sixth grade. She got sick on Labor Day weekend that year, and they thought she had the flu. The doctor said to stay home. She collapsed in the bathroom. My dad had to take her to the hospital, and the ER physician said, if you would have waited for an ambulance, your wife would be dead.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I was a mama's girl to begin with, but that just blew it up. Times a million. And that made me, you know, you don't appreciate the experience and the lessons that you learn. You know, as a little kid, you kind of come back in retrospect when you're an adult and say, you know, I remember, you know, X, Y, and Z happening. But now as a mother, I appreciate the strength and the grit that my mom showed. Mm-hmm. To juggle fighting for her life and trying to make life as normal as possible for myself, my sister, and my dad, and all of the sacrifices that my parents made during that time. You know, as a child, you just kind of grasp one and say, you know, mommy, you're going to live. You're going to live, and everything's going to be okay, and you're kind of naive about it. But now as a parent, like sometimes I look at Natalie and I'm like, I can't imagine how hard it was for my mother to raise a sixth grader and a second grader and fight leukemia and go through some extremely intensive chemotherapy and be in the hospital weeks at a time. It makes me appreciate her strength and a mother's strength much more, and the fact that every day is a gift. So that has been my inspiration in a roundabout way is just seeing the strength that my mom showed during that time and has showed ever since. as, you know, being a strong mom and a strong woman figure for my daughter. And my mom, she's just such a hard worker, and she never says no, and she's so selfless, and she's just
like you.
She's just she's just an incredible woman, and it's really something to see motherhood in that different perspective. Mm-hmm. She is definitely my role model and my inspiration. And she kept our family together, you know, during that time. And she is so family oriented and family driven. It's a weird weekend if we don't go down to mama and dad's house for dinner, or they don't come up, or we don't see each other. That's why I always joke around with people. Like, I'm never going to move away from my parents. You could not pay me $1 million to go to a bigger television market. The only thing that would happen is if my husband becomes fire chief somewhere, we would literally pack up my entire family and everybody would be coming back. Because those memories and those moments and that relationship and the time that you have with your parents and your mother and your father, that is just priceless. And I learned that at a very, very early age.
That is truly an inspiring story.
Yes, it absolutely is. We would love to have you and your mom on an episode and hear from her perspective as well.
Yeah.
That would be incredible, for sure. So being in the media spotlight, how has motherhood changed your role in that world and your thoughts and how you do your job every day?
I'm such a soft cookie now. I'm such a soft person. Motherhood has changed me. That was one other thing that I didn't expect to happen, is how soft I would become as a mother. News is so hard. Some days I just can't believe the stuff that comes out of our mouth during our newscast. And that's very bold of me to say, but sometimes it's like, what is going on in this world? How can people?
What did I just read?
Exactly. Yeah. How can people do this or act this way or treat somebody like this?
My kids keep saying, why do people not have manners anymore?
It's
all negativity, everything that just is happening in our world.
Just like respect.
Respect.
You know, that's the big
please and thank
R
you
word.
Yes.
It's incredible what we have to relay onto our viewers every day. And pre-motherhood, I was very hardened. My old executive producer, many years ago when I first started in the business, said, you need to grow a thick skin, honey. Grow a thick skin. You're going to be dealing with this stuff in news, and you're going to be telling these stories all the time, because it used to emotionally affect me. Yeah. And after a while, as a veteran in the news, you kind of have to have that separation of church and state between your personal beliefs and, you know, making sure that you're telling the story so that it's black and white, no gray area for people to make assumptions. We always want to make sure that there is no gray area whatsoever, and we're just telling the facts. And sometimes the facts are so hard. As a mother, those facts have been so incredibly difficult to tell, especially crime stories have had a very different effect on me. I have trouble reading arrest warrants, especially during situations that involve children. Mm-hmm. It is very hard for me to get out and read about deadly accidents, because you think they're leaving behind a mom or a dad, or they're leaving behind children. And I just automatically go to that place of like, tragedy, which is weird, because I'm like, I can't imagine what that family is going through, and then to have to turn on the TV to hear that. But that's part of our job, to inform the public of what's going on in our community, and it's a responsibility we don't take lightly whatsoever. But I'm finding that those emotional negative stories have had a much different impact. I really have to do my whoosha and, you know, go to my little corner of peace to proof those scripts and to hear those stories and to read those stories. So I've become much more emotional when it comes to the negative news. But on the flip side, I just feel like I have a bigger heart and a different perspective to cheer on our community when they're doing great things. Like, we do a talking trash segment and campaign, and it's like recycling. You know, that's something that we learned as kids. But to see these little fourth graders across Horry County
so excited
about, you know, having a dance party and recycling and, you know, doing these monthly challenges, like, it means so much more to me. I get so excited to go out and celebrate their accomplishments, because it's like, in television, we're impacting these kids as fourth grader and teaching them a life skill. So I love doing that and just being more involved with our community. I feel more emotionally attached now that I have a child. I feel more of a community member. Like this is, it's always been home here in Myrtle Beach and in Horry County, but this is home now. And I'm darn proud to be raising my family and to be raising my daughter in such an awesome community.
Yeah. I'm sure you take notes of like, oh, I can't wait to get Natalie involved in this or like have her be part of this thing.
Exactly. And like I drive past the ball fields, you know, every day. I'm like, I can't wait till Natalie's playing soccer or she's doing softball or we're a swimming family. My sister used to coach swimming at Carolina Forest High School and I did for a very brief time as well. And I'm like, I can't wait to just throw Natalie in the pool and she can start competitive swimming and everything. But, you know, when you become a mom, you also take notice to different things in your community that maybe you just turn a blind eye to. And I just get so excited over the smallest things, like driving past a ball field and imagining me being one of those parents sitting on the sidelines, you know, cheering my girl on and celebrating her successes. Or
it's so much fun.
You know, kissing really a boo-boo, you know, when she falls down and, you know, just – teaching her so many different lessons. I'm so excited to be a mom.
It comes across and that's so joyful to see.
It is. It's so wonderful.
So joyful. Do you have any stories that from past life that you are still emotionally connected to or things that have stuck with you, one that you, positive or negative?
You know, we're talking news stories, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
The Jacob Hancher's death. Okay.
He was a local police officer here in our area.
In Myrtle Beach and was shot and killed a few years ago. That story just
ripped you to pieces.
Yeah.
I don't cry on air, and that was pre-Natalie, pre-pregnancy. That hurt when we lose our first responders or something tragic, very tragic like that happens in our community. We had a personal connection because he was a volunteer firefighter with Horry County Fire Rescue. And so my husband had a small hand in helping his family and his station through that tragedy. That was the one that just really stung to lose a life so tragically and so young. He was just had shortly been pinned.
Yeah.
And he was so excited for his life ahead. And, I cried many, many, many tears behind closed doors to that story. But that story really emotionally affected me in a way that I didn't think it would. On the flip side, like the graduations and, you know, all of those fun stories involving kids now, like those are the stories that I'm excited to tell. I've always been excited about positive stories and stories that help people. But those stories make me more excited, you know, now, because that's also, you know, what I need to hear as well. Like that's information I want to know as a mom and I want to know as a, you know, a different community member, you know, now. So I get much more excited on those stories. But that Jacob Hancher, that was the one that really broke my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the profession that you're in, what do you do to, you know, is it counseling? Is it yoga? Is it running? Is it swimming? Just to help you emotionally put a smile back on your face the next day.
Being in the news is not easy whatsoever.
I can't imagine.
I can't underscore that enough. We're in a different age and stories are hitting people differently. And mental health has been a huge conversation as of recent in our industry. How can we help our young reporters who are covering terrible, heartbreaking stories? How can we talk them through it? How can I, as a veteran, be a mama bear or a big sister to someone who maybe has never been on a crime scene before, never seen a fatal fire, you know, never had to report on somebody doing just something terrible in the community? That has become my outlet. Because while I'm coaching them, it's also like a mini coaching session and perk up session for myself. So now as a mom holding that, you know, mama bear and big sister role for some of our newer reporters at our station, that has helped me immensely emotionally. Yoga used to be a thing that I did 2-3 times a week, would go take a yoga class, and that helped out immensely. But now that I don't have time for myself. You know, yes. It's like the 30 minutes that I get after I put Natalie to bed, you know, to decompress, it's just like a hot bubble bath. And being able to open a book that, yeah, I may not finish for 7, 8, 9 months.
It's all right.
You know what, just reading a page or two. My faith has been huge. I've really reconnected with my faith since having Natalie and going through the pregnancy process. So I rely heavily on, you know, my devotionals and listening to worship music and just trying to put myself, you know, in that positive space when I'm having mm-hmm. a bad day. Bad days do not last forever. You've got to show yourself grace yes. on those bad days.
As and there's your word again.
Yeah, yep. as a professional and as a parent. So I've really found that with my limited spare time, since I can't do, you know, my decompression things and activities that I used to do, is just reading a simple Bible verse or a few pages of my Bible or opening a devotional, or on my ride to work, listening to my favorite praise music, or while I'm doing my makeup in the afternoon, if mm-hmm. I missed church or didn't get to watch it on TV, you know, because mm-hmm. of schedules, I'll listen to the sermons at my church. And that kind of puts me back in a better place when I'm struggling over stories.
You just mentioned makeup and it made me think of, you guys do your own
yes.
routines,
yes, I'm
correct?
So bad at it.
No, you're not. We were just talking yesterday about with makeup and...
yeah, from that perspective, what was the pressure like to get back to pre-baby self?
It was tough. It was.
Were you more in your own head, or do you think society affected that more?
Society, definitely.
Okay. Yeah.
We have a lot of really awesome viewers who, again, bring up the G word, showed me a lot of grace.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
know, when I was going through the process of being pregnant on air, that is so you were so vulnerable when
yes.
you were pregnant on air.
On and air, too.
It was tough. And I waited until 15 weeks to announce my pregnancy when I just started getting my baby bump. But I lost a lot of weight in the beginning of my pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what happened third trimester. I don't know what I was eating, like what I had the munchies, you know, what kind of cravings I had. But I gained 50, 55 pounds. And that's been hard to work off. And I was very nervous about that on my maternity leave coming
yeah,
back.
I can imagine.
And oh my gosh, I went up 3-4 dress sizes. Like I'm scared of getting mean viewer emails, because while we have so many viewers that say, "You look beautiful. We're so mm-hmm. happy to have you back. We love watching you, X, Y, and Z." There will always be that one person that puts one mean thing on social media, and that just completely
That's the one that
you.
Sticks.
It
yeah.
does. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we always look to the negative versus all the positive.
And it's so terrible, because you don't want to go into that mind space. And how can you say that about, you know, someone who's going through such a vulnerable time yeah. in such a public
a human being into the world,
an arena too? But you just have to brush it off and just say, you know what? I'm doing my best to feel my best.
Mm-hmm.
It may not look it to you, but if I'm feeling good inside and I'm feeling confident about myself, honey, that's all that matters.
Amen.
At the end of the day. Everybody has
absolutely.
Their own perception and their own opinion and their own view on what you should be as a news anchor, but we're all individuals. We're all humans. And it's okay to be different. It's okay to have that baby weight sticking on. It's okay to put on a dress. Like, I tried putting on a pre-pregnancy dress yesterday on the news. Was it a little bit snug? Oh, yeah. I was just surprised that, you know, it zippered. But that was a win for me.
Exactly.
That was a win. It's like, okay, I'm working out. I'm feeling like myself again. And you just have to try to block out that negative noise at the end of the day. Because as long as you're trying your best, that's all that matters.
Well, and then being a mother of a daughter,
mm-hmm.
you have to continuously put that face on to show your, you know, you don't want to show your insecurities. You want to mm-hmm. be able to show how, you know, those affirmations and being positive around her.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I do those every morning in the mirror with her when we get up, or I'm, you know, changing her diaper upstairs after my husband leaves. And I've done it since day one. We look in the mirror. She turns around. I say, "You are beautiful. You're smart. You're kind. You're happy. You're healthy. and you're loved. And she understands, yeah, like, oh, this is our routine, and she giggles and everything. But that's just so important for me, because I think that's what girls need these days. They need that positive encouragement, because this can be a cruel world, very cruel world out there. And just that little bit of encouragement, I think, instilling at a young age for our daughters can just move mountains in their future.
Mm-hmm. And for you, I mean, you have girls watching you all the time, and you're probably inspirations to many girls in the area that you don't even know. So thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I try. I try.
I will say, Megan, you've always been, or it seems like you've always been, the one of our keynote speakers or motivational speaker at so many of our conferences here in our community. You always have that smile, that grace, your word. You are just approachable. You know, there are some people that are in the news industry that almost are fake looking, but what you see is what you get. You're just so positive. I don't know how to describe
it. I try.
But you're an inspiration to many women.
You get what you see with me. And that's how it is.
Great.
And it's like, I know that, like, you know, if I'm not having a good day, you know, I'll tell somebody, yeah, today's been, it's been a rough day. Natalie was, you know, crazy and whatnot. And I think being open and being vulnerable as a woman helps people understand, you know, if you're off or you're feeling a little emotional or your energy is kind of weird for the day, you know, it helps them understand that, you know, you're going through something too. And, you know, you were saying about, you know, the keynote speakers and everything, the Ignite conference last year, that was my first day back at work after maternity leave.
Yeah.
And that was such an incredibly emotional day. I felt
I can only imagine.
Not myself, because I wasn't in my body. It was my first time being out in public, and I'm in a room of incredibly talented and powerful women that, like, I look up to, and I'm like, these women are rock stars. And then having to get up in front of a room and, like, have my composure together and everything. But I cannot say, first of all, enough good things about that event. It was incredible. I hope it happens next year. I will be there
Halloween.
At a table every
Halloween. That's
every
when
year.
It's happening.
And, you know, just to be surrounded by so many strong women that I've met over the years through the grace of being in this industry, and them coming up to me and saying, we're so happy for you. And, you know, talking about Natalie and embracing me, not as a news anchor and a public figure, but embracing me as a mother, dropped me to tears that night.
Yes.
I mean, I literally sat in my bathroom just sobbing in the bathtub, because it's just been so beautiful to be part of the mom club.
It's fun.
You just have a whole new purpose, and you can support other women in a whole new way. And that was just such an impactful day in my motherhood journey with just being surrounded by so many strong women and getting hugs and me saying, you know, hey, you know, I'm so nervous about this, you know, and going on this new journey and balancing, you know, being a professional working mom, and just everyone saying, you know what? It's going to be okay. You're going to do a great job. And I hope that someday when I may have a coworker who is in that situation or a friend in that situation, I'm going to be one of the first people to be like, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. If you need, you know, if you need encouragement any day, you know, text me, call me and whatnot, because that was so meaningful to me when I started back working. So
what a great day to start
from
maternity
leave. It was so wonderful. I love those events, and they're so important to have in our community.
They are.
Too. It just resets you as a woman and motivates you and says, hey, let's go conquer the world. Let's go conquer Myrtle Beach.
It also helps just to hear from other women's perspective, but that they're going through the same things that we're all going through.
Exactly.
Every day, you know, every day can be a struggle, but you just got to put one foot, you know, ahead of yourself. So,
and sometimes you wonder if, like, other women are really going through the same things you're going through. Like, how do you keep your composure?
Yes.
And how do you keep everything
so
together? You're polished, you know, you got your hair, you remembered your earrings today, you've got lip gloss on. Like, how can I be like you? And, you know, it's like being a bright, beautiful Michael Kors purse on the outside, and, like, mine is just a complete mess inside. And sometimes, you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
Speaking of composure, I always have wanted to know this question. So live on the air, something funny happens. How do you can keep your composure? Or is there a time when you just can't stop laughing?
You know what? Bob and I have a really funny relationship. Bob is so serious on air. But in those commercial breaks, he is just so funny. And we joke around and we talk about like old times, old, you know, fun times mm-hmm. that we've had at the station and whatnot. And some days he will just have me rolling. I mean, rolling to the point where I'm bending over, like almost crying. Like, and then we have to go on and be serious because we're talking right. about like a state house story yeah. or something. And you just have to do that whoosh, like, okay, get back, you know, in the zone. But sometimes, like, you just can't help it. You yeah. know, it's just you have that big smile on your face coming out of break. But I think that's part of like showing your personality mm-hmm. on
sure.
air and like letting people know we're not news robots.
You're
we're real
human.
People. Yeah, we're real people too. And we love to laugh. We love to joke around, have a good time. We know when it's appropriate to be serious and we know when we have to be serious out of respect. And we respect that process.
How often do you get recognized out in public and people come up to you? Is it a regular thing or?
You know what's really sad? It's always on the weekends when my hair
when you have
is
no
off
makeup
course.
On. No you're makeup in your gym on. Shorts and a t-shirt.
I have stains all over my yeah. shirt because I'm wearing my workout stuff. You know, my hair's a mess. That's the funny thing is that people recognize me without my makeup and hair done more often than, you know, they will recognize me, you know, when I'm in my professional attire and everything. But those are always like the fun moments. And like, I had a neighbor the other day as I was walking the dog. Oh, you don't look like that news lady that I watch on TV. I was like, that's because mama's tired. It's a Saturday morning at 7:45 in the morning. And mama is tired and mama's not going to look nice at 7:45 in the morning. And that's okay. But you can make like little funny jokes
yeah.
About that. As long as you have a positive experience, you know, when that happens mm-hmm. and, you know, don't act ignorant or brush it off
yeah.
or act too cool. Like, those are the moments where viewers see you as a real person. I embrace them mm-hmm. personally. I love those little moments.
Do you sign autographs? I'm assuming some of your older viewers love that. And then your younger ones want the selfies.
Sometimes I will get asked for, you know, through email
yeah.
and stuff. But, like, the little kids, like, they want selfies.
Yeah.
And you know what? The kids just want to give you a hug, too.
Oh,
when we do
so
talk
sweet.
And trash, it's like – they want to give you a hug. They want to know how Natalie's doing. Miss Megan, we're so happy you're here. And for the little kids, it's just being in the presence of each other.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful when you can take technology away. They don't want a picture or anything. They
yes.
just want a big old mm-hmm. hug.
Well, you're a big celebrity in their eyes. And these fourth graders, it is so cute. They almost look like they're going to tumble all over you. Like,
oh.
they are like running after you
oh,
and
yeah.
some of them.
And then when I was pregnant with Natalie, it was like every school was like, okay, we're team girl or we're team boy. When, you know, it wasn't announced, you know, if I was having a boy or a girl. And they would come up and try to guess Natalie's name and all that stuff.
Oh.
A couple of them got it.
Really?
Yeah, a couple of them guessed Natalie. And so I had to keep a real straight poker face on that one. But some people just want a simple handshake and a hug.
Just to say thank you.
Or conversation.
There's
yeah. nothing simpler and more wonderful than just a conversation between two people.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that I really like. And learning if they're like a born and raised local, hearing their
yeah.
stories from back in the day and their experience about how our area has changed, those are fantastic interactions. And I'm willing to stop time and stop whatever I'm doing
yeah.
just to have those small little interactions.
And it means so much to the viewers and your
mm-hmm.
fans.
But you also learn a lot about your community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important when we're looking at the grand scheme of things as being a storyteller.
Yeah.
Like, we were in charge of telling people's stories and telling them correctly and trying to get the right emotion behind it. And the more people that you meet and those more little tiny small conversations that you have off the cuff when you don't have a camera in someone's face, that gives you really great perspective about what your community is, who it's made up of,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, how people think and why people act. It just gives you great perspective, really great perspective. Those little conversations are priceless in this, and relationships are priceless
yeah.
in this industry.
Well, we're honored to have you here
yes.
today with us.
I'm honored to be on with you guys.
And especially, we had history in the making today, Megan's first
I know.
Podcast.
Yep.
And
yes.
It's been fun.
Yes.
Wonderful. I'll come back anytime.
Yay. Perfect. Okay, I think we have one last question
we
that
yep.
we ask most of our guests. So for us, the margarita in our title is a metaphor for where we take a few moments of bliss, and it's kind of a happy spot for us. So what's your margarita in life?
Oh, that is such a good question. Oh, you're going to stop me in my tracks on this one. Stepping back and just appreciating all my blessings. It's just that little simple quiet moment. That is the margarita
mm-hmm.
in my life. And that has changed immensely from 2 years ago, I was at Huntington Beach State Park. That's my margarita in life.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Being with birds, being with my camera. But that is kind of like my aha moment, is just that moment where I have a chance to catch my breath and just appreciate and realize my blessings in life, because I'm incredibly blessed, and it humbles me. It brings me to tears. It's just a very humbling thought. So that's my margarita.
There
you
go.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, you're a very inspiring person. Yeah. So thank you for all that you're doing. Well, if there's any questions, suggestions, or feedback from you, everyone that's listening, please email us at MyrtleMomsWithMargs@visitmyrtlebeach.com. That's MyrtleMomsWithMargs@visitmyrtlebeach.com. We would love to hear from you.
Yep. Same thing on Instagram and Facebook at MyrtleMomsWithMargs. Give us a follow. We'd love to hear from y'all.
Cheers.
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina is the beach. Here, you're free to be your best self, because Myrtle Beach is 60 miles made for you. You belong at the beach.
Beach easy.